Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
1-800-522-4700. It's 6 p.m. in Memphis, and it's time for The 6 on 92.9 FM ESPN with the Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris, what are we listening to?
Obviously, that's Penny Lane by the Beatles, a Paul McCartney special. Twitter told me it was Penny Hardaway's birthday, so there's a happy birthday song.
You just came back from vacation, refreshed and lively, and you sound like you're on death's door already.
Yeah, I've got like, I feel like I'm like a kid in preschool where you get the crud, you know. I don't feel, other than I'm sort of phlegmy and I have no other symptoms.
Chris,
I have no idea why.
This is exactly what happens when you go to California. You breathe in the ocean air and then you come back and you have all the oak trees and it got so much worse after I went to college and then came back. Like,
but
my
don't
science
you have
is
smog
bad.
Out there? Don't you have smog that you get used to?
Not in San Francisco. You have smog, right. But not smog.
Smug, but not smug. Thank you very much. That's fabulous. Anyway, we hope you get rid of the crud.
Yeah.
Shams yesterday
tweeted
that the Houston Rockets and the Clippers are strongly pursuing an Andre Iguodala trade.
I missed this, actually, but I've already written about it.
You have something that's going to go up 10 minutes ago or 10 minutes after my show that
I wasn't able to get it finished, but I'll have it up later today. My notebook follow-up, with the lead is on the Iguodala stuff, and so I don't know what he's saying, but I can tell you.
That was it. It was Lakers, Houston strongly pursuing
Clippers.
Iguodala. Clippers, yeah. Lakers,
there's no deal for the Lakers.
Houston, Clippers strongly pursuing.
There's no deal the Lakers can do right now.
Right.
The problem, so Houston and the Clippers, the Grizzlies' best hope, in what I wrote, I sort of identified four main teams. It was the Rockets, Clippers, Nuggets, and Mavs, and I threw a few wild cards in. The Grizzlies' best hope is probably leveraging the Rockets against the Clippers and hoping, like, one of them just gets desperate enough to, like, get an edge that they sort of do something that probably wouldn't necessarily make a lot of sense otherwise.
Right.
So the deal with those teams is, let me pull this up, because it gets complicated on the draft stuff. Those teams can make deals for Andre Iguodala. And the way it would work, let's see. So with the Rockets, at this point, the Rockets' actual roster as it stands, there's no one they're going to trade for Andre Iguodala that they can trade for Andre Iguodala. The only contracts that work are Eric Gordon and Clint Capella, and they're not trading those guys for Andre Iguodala. Now, what they can do, and I do think it is meaningful that this has not happened yet. Amon Shumpert, a wing who was on their team last year, is still an unsigned free agent. I think it's notable that he is still unsigned. And I suspect they are leaving him unsigned for the moment because their only way they can make a trade for Iguodala would be a sign and trade using Shumpert. And what would basically happen is you would sign Shumpert to a contract just big enough to make it the trade legally work. Whatever, I haven't done the math, but it's like $12 million, $13 million, something like that. Just big enough you can make the swap. Now, the problem with a sign and trade is sign and trades can't be for 1 year. That'd be for multiple years. You can make the out years non-guaranteed. So what happens is you sign Amon Shumpert to like a 2-3 year deal starting at whatever magic number has to be there to make the trade work, and the Grizzlies basically don't guarantee those last years. So two problems with that. One, Houston is actually under the tax, and they've made great pains to get under the tax. They're despite their owner's protestations.
Protestations, I think works. Yeah.
It is pretty clear that they care about that. There's been a lot of reporting that they care about that, and they have conducted themselves in a way that suggests they care about that. They're right under the tax. If you take $17 million of Andre Iguodala and throw it on top of the roster they have now, they're way into the tax. And so not only are you paying Andre Iguodala $17 million, you're paying like another $20 million on top of that. Do they want to pay 35 plus million for Andre Iguodala?
There's no one else they could throw overboard to get back under the tax.
I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, again, are you throwing Eric Gordon and Clint Capella?
So
A, they would have to be willing to go significantly into the tax after getting out of it.
for Andre Iguodala.
And then on top of that, if you're the Grizzlies, are you willing to make a deal that's Andre Iguodala at $17 million for Iman Shumpert, let's say 12 or 13, and just say, hey, that's an effective buyout? You probably want something back.
Right.
And so you probably want a first-round pick,
yeah,
which
you do.
The Rockets, they have traded two picks and two pick swaps for the Russell Westbrook deal. They still have the rights to deal their 2022 first-round pick. So if you're the Rockets, are you going to take on something like $30 million in extra expense and give up a first-round pick to get Andre Iguodala, who hasn't played 70 games in 4 years and hasn't averaged more than 8 points a game in like 8 years? Is that edge so important you're willing to do both of those things? Maybe, but that's a lot. That's a lot to ask to add like a role player, right? Now, the Clippers... If the Clippers trade for Iguodala, they've got this guy, Mo Harkless, who they recently acquired.
Right. Former first rounder.
He would have to be in the deal. That's the only contract that really works to be in the deal, but I don't think he alone is enough. You would have to pair him with another contract, and I don't know if they could do that right now. Maybe they can find mechanisms around that via trade exceptions or whatever. People find complicated routes, but Harkless would have to be in the deal, and you'd have to have something else in the deal. And so if you're the Grizzlies, is Mo Harkless and Jerome Robinson, who was one of their first-round picks last year, didn't play much.
Right.
Is that enough? Or do you want a first-round pick from them in the deal? Well, they've just given 1,000 first-round picks in trades. They still have the right, I believe, to next year's first-rounder, 2020. So are they willing to give up their, you know, and so I think it's possible you get one of these deals done, but you're asking a lot of these teams for a player that you got a first-round pick to take, right?
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah, it's not enough for them to say, though, hey, you already got a first-round pick. Stop asking us for more. I mean, they're obviously not going to do that. They're going to ask for what? I guess the question is, do you think that Andre Iguodala?
This is a slow-motion game of chicken at this point because a lot of teams are saying, well, we just wait. Like, maybe they'll buy him out, and we can, you know, not everyone can get him. One team will get him. And that's the thing. Like, who thinks they're getting him if he gets bought out? Right?
Where does he go if he gets bought out?
I'm assuming it would be the Clippers, Rockets, or Lakers.
Then the Lakers are in it, right?
Right. And so, if you're one of those teams that doesn't think you're going to get him if he gets bought out, that's more of an incentive for you to try to trade for him because that's the only way you're going to get him, right? But, you know, these teams, and the other thing about, you know, the Clippers and Rockets each have access to one first-round pick they can trade and only one because they've traded all these others. So not only are you asking them to take on all this money, and in the Rockets' case, all this tax liability, and asking them to trade a first-round pick, you're asking them to trade the only first-round pick they have to trade. Right. The last piece of currency in the wallet they can use to improve their team is this what they're going to do it for.
Yeah. And just so people I don't know, you cannot, because of a owner with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who traded away all of his first-round picks.
Ted Stepien. Right.
There is the Ted Stepien rule, which you cannot trade consecutive picks in consecutive drafts. They actually had to reload Cleveland with draft picks because of this.
Right.
He was also a virulent racist, and I'm not just saying that.
Right.
He was. So they have this Ted Stepien rule.
You can't trade first-round picks in consecutive years, but there is the wiggle room in that is that it only counts going forward. So let's say you traded your pick
right.
You know, at this draft 2019, that doesn't mean you can't trade the 2020 because
right.
now that's in the past and that's no longer applies, right?
What happens with pick swaps?
Pick swaps do not activate the Stepien rule. That's the reason pick swaps are in all these trades because
right,
they don't. That's a way around it. Because you can't trade your
pick.
2024, 25, and 26 first round picks because that violates the rule. But you can trade your 24 and 26 and then a pick swap in the middle in 25, and that's a way around the Stepien rule.
So to trade the pick swap, though.
I don't know if you can trade a pick swap.
It doesn't make sense because you'd be swapping with someone. If I have traded you a pick swap, I have made my own assessment of where you will be.
Right, then
trade it to someone else.
Yeah, I don't know if you can do that. My point is that the pick swaps, on the initial pick swaps, are used to add value to a trade in a way that gets around that.
But I guess my question is then are the first round picks not tradable because the pick swaps are not tradable? In other words,
you mean the picks in the pick swap years?
Yeah, are those not tradable?
Well, they're not tradable because
are those picks also not tradable?
Well, because they're bracketed by years in which the picks are already traded.
Oh, so they can't
so to trade the pick would violate
anyway.
The rule.
Right, exactly. Right.
Right.
Okay, so I'm being stupid there. Do you think Andre Iguodala moves the needle particularly for any of these teams, and do you think that he is a particularly better fit with any of these teams as currently constructed, these new contenders?
I think he helps anyone in a playoff series if he's healthy. Yes. I don't think you're going to get a lot out of him over the course of an 82-game regular season, which is another reason why the whole, like, you know, like, well, Iguodala is going to be playing for the Grizzlies and helping the kids. Like, right. I don't think he's going to be playing much for anybody in right. October, November, and December. Right. But I think if he's healthy, you saw it in the finals. Like, he didn't do much all year. He was good in the finals. The last game he played, he scored 20 points in Game 6 in the NBA Finals. He can step up in the finals, and he's a versatile defender. He's a good playmaker. He would help anybody in a playoff series. I think particularly Houston, because they're so small on the perimeter. You look at Harden, Westbrook, Eric Gordon's probably, they're probably starting three guards there. They don't really have wings in that sense. Like, you know, if you're Houston, who's guarding Kawhi Leonard in a playoff series? Who's guarding LeBron James in a playoff series? You don't have an answer to that. Andre Iguodala would answer that question for you. Whereas for the Clippers, it's just adding, it's just embarrassment of riches. Like another great wing defender on top of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. It's almost ridiculous, right? But for Houston, I think it would be a big deal. But are they going to pay him $17 million and pay another $20 million in luxury tax and give up draft assets? I don't know.
In terms of both Houston and the Clippers and what they did, you said yesterday that Clippers did what they had to do, obviously. But in a sense, if you'd been the Clippers, ideally, you would have rather than given all those.
Yeah, if I could have drawn up just from scratch, this is my ideal offseason, that actually was not it.
Right.
Because I think you had the ability to add Kawhi Leonard and a star with him and not give up anything right. to do it.
But very clearly Kawhi wanted Paul George. Right. That's the way it was executed, et cetera. Do you believe you think they are – would they be your favorite to win the NBA title now, right now, as constructed?
I have a process that I go through. I have not yet – I just updated my rosters last night.
Good. So that's important.
I haven't started going through the process yet. I will see where the process
takes me. Right.
It's a proprietary process.
I would hope so.
At a glance, it seems to me like the Clippers and Bucks are probably where the smart money is in each conference. I think the fact that there's so much more competition to come out of the West, that if I would just place in a bet, I think the Bucks are probably a better bet.
Right.
But if you stipulate, okay, it's Bucks, Clippers in the finals,
then you might then pick Clippers.
Pick the Clippers.
Okay.
Right.
From the Houston perspective, did you think what they did with their deal for Russell Westbrook made sense?
You have to factor in that James Harden and Chris Paul apparently hated each other, right? And so, like that has to be part of the equation, right? Like, if you just say, like, these people hate each other and they can't play together next year, then, like, what are you going to do, right?
Right.
I don't know if I'm convinced. If you take that out of the equation and say, well, they don't hate each other, they'll be fine, like they've been the past 2 years, I'm not necessarily convinced that they are better with Westbrook than with Paul. Paul is not what he used to be. But, like, Westbrook's probably not what he used to be either.
Marginally better.
No, Westbrook's better than Paul.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying they both declined, right. I think. And Paul, you know, James Harden is doing so much. You don't need another guard dominating the ball as much as Russell Westbrook
Paul's
does.
Paul's a better fit with him.
Paul's a better defender. Paul's not a great shooter, but he's a little bit better shooter. I think he's a little bit better at sort of, you know, playing a secondary kind of role. It's going to be fascinating to watch. I think NBA has shown that, like, betting on talent is generally the good bet. Doesn't always work out, but it's generally the right bet to take. But Harden and Westbrook are the two most ball-dominant guards probably in the whole NBA. Like, how does that work? We were asking some of the same questions about Harden and Chris Paul 2 years ago. Right. It ended up working fine. So we'll see, but I think it's a challenge
plus
for Mike D'Antoni.
I mean, I guess they had to because they are where they are. The window is where it is, and they hate each other, as you pointed out. But
right.
It doesn't – so one of the things we've seen here is both with Houston, with the Lakers, and with the Clippers, people just throwing draft picks away.
Right.
Do you think it's going to come back to all of these teams are in glamour markets where they can reload other ways? What do you think of the wisdom of what they've done? Just basically hurl draft picks at said, screw the future, we're going for it.
I think if you're the Lakers, like, I get it from the Lakers. Because you're just like, we're the Lakers. Let's get back to being the Lakers, right?
We don't care. Now,
we don't care about your petty draft picks, which are irrelevant.
We tried that for the last 4 years. It was stupid.
That's a Robert Mitchum paraphrase. Right. That's what he said when he got arrested for marijuana possession.
Oh, what did he say?
He said, he told the judge, I do not care about your petty morals, which are irrelevant. And so the Lakers don't care about your petty draft picks, which are irrelevant. And, like, I think that's fine. The Lakers are just going to be the Lakers, and we're going to try to get stars and whatever. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. I think the Clippers, like we're in L.A. too, and, like, we have a good owner, and we have good front office. And so I don't, you know, the Rockets I would wonder about. At some point, like, Daryl Morey's going to be gone, and the bill's going to come due, and you have this owner who seems more skittish about spending than the previous owner, and I do think it could come back to bite Houston. They didn't give up as much either.
No, just two.
Two picks and two swaps.
But the swaps, if you're good, don't.
The swaps may not matter at all.
And so you gave it two first round picks to upgrade from to get rid of a guy who hated. Yeah, and it just wasn't workable. I actually think it made. I don't think it's going to work, but I think it made sense. I think the play made sense. All right, there's a million other things I can ask you about. I did want to ask you, and sorry if I'm sideswiping you here, but you tweeted while you were gone that more than anything else, you would have liked to have weighed in, not on anything the Grizzlies did.
Yeah.
You want me to stop?
No, you're fine.
But on the Bill Lee signing the proclamation for Nathan Bedford for a stay. Now, I will tell you, I was outraged by it, and I remain outraged by it, that we have this a day as a state. But then when you learn that, like, it's part of the state law that you have to do this, you change the state law, right? Doesn't that give him a little cover? I mean, I'm not, you know, it's an embarrassment that we have this Nathan Bedford Forrest Day.
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen the headlines. I haven't had time to read the articles lately, but there was something about, I saw some headline about him maybe softening a little bit on the idea of
he wants to change the law now.
That law, but also the bust of Forrest that's at the state capitol, he was sort of softening on. What I would write about if I were writing about this, and maybe I will next week, I sort of want, once I'm back down, I'm going to write two Grizzlies things. I'm going to do a Grizzlies podcast tomorrow. And then
with whom?
Britt Robson, who you've had on the show, good friend of mine. Let's hope it doesn't, you know, now that I'm saying it, let's hope the scheduling doesn't pop up. But he writes for The Athletic, covers Minnesota Timberwolves, good friend of mine, and he's a big Tyus Jones fan. So I'm going to get him on to give us a scouting report on Tyus Jones. Doing that tomorrow morning. So once I get Grizzly stuff sort of, not off my plate, but like catch up on all that, I'm going to try to find, to really nail down a method to start writing about non-basketball next week. I think it's interesting that all this stuff, like not the big story necessarily, but one of the big stories in Tennessee has been this Forrest stuff the last week. And the big story in the country has been, I'm sorry, but it's been the president of the United States.
That stuff last night was that literally people are chanting, send them back is like, it is fascism. It is unbelievable.
Where these things intersect, obviously race is where they intersect, but beyond that, they intersect in this question of identity. And the implication in the president's language in the past week has been that to be American essentially means to be white. That has been his implication, that being American means being white, essentially. I've always maintained, I've written about this before, a lot of the Confederate stuff, whether it's a statue in a park or a day celebrating or whatever, when you talk about in terms of Southern history, Southern heritage, whatever, your implication is that to be Southern is to be white. And that is the implication of that. It is not to grant retroactive citizenship to the enslaved population of the South. Mm-hmm. Because in the Civil War, a third of the Southern population was enslaved. And if you consider those people Southerners retroactively, then what are you doing? You're celebrating an attempt to expand the enslavement of Southerners, right? So how is that celebrating Southern heritage if those people are Southerners too? I think people just haven't thought of it that way. They just had this white people, I mean. A lot of people in their head, when they think Southern, they think white, right? It's just those things merge. And to me, those two stories, national and state, intersect with this implication that to be a certain thing, American or Southern, connotates whiteness. It's complicated. That's what I would write about if I were writing about it.
And might you?
You might. If it still seems relevant early next week, I'm right.
Early next week.
Coming up next on The Six.
Wiseman is absurd, right? I mean, he's just an unbelievable athlete. You know, but for me, I really think Damian Ba is going to be that crowd favorite. I kind of tweeted that out. It's the way he plays defense is it kind of brings a smile to your face. And that's the thing about Memphis basketball fans is they're not just loud and intense. They're really, really intelligent. They understand great basketball. And they're going to absolutely love the way that he plays.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guys know more is better. So this month, Sport Clips Haircuts is thanking our clients with the Sport Clips Instant Replay. It's double the MVP experience for the price of a single. So after your fresh cut, we double your relaxing massaging shampoo and our legendary hot steam towel. You can even turn your hot towel into a refreshing chilled towel to get the MVP on ice. Instant Replay. It's the MVP on repeat. Download the Sport Clips app and check in online today.
Buckle up, taste buds. You're about to take an adventure of South of Beale, Memphis's most innovative and trendiest establishment. Check out the new summer menu or nosh on your favorites like General Tso's cauliflower or the duck patty melt. South of Beale has craft cocktails made from the coolest bartenders in the Mid-South, featuring draft brews from local and regional breweries only. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your taste buds to South of Beale, celebrating 10 years in the South Main Art District. Get started at southofbeale.com.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Let's up your life with Let's.
It's time to be the talk of the neighborhood or lake house with that custom golf cart built by the experts at LEDS. With both new and used models, they're sure to have exactly what you need. The brand new Club Car Onward encourages families and friends to come together and enjoy being outside. Find out more at LEDSonline.com or give us a call at 901-324-8801.
LEDS, up your life with LEDS. LEDS, up your life.
Before you expanded into the building next door, before you shipped that 1,000th order, before you shipped that first order, before you took that leap of faith, you printed that new business pitch. Staples has everything your business needs to get you from here to there. From ink and printers to paper at great prices every day. And right now, when you buy one HP ink cartridge, get the second one 30% off. Staples, here we get you there.
N72019, restrictions may apply. See store associate or staples.com/ink savings for details.
Now, back to The Six with the Jason and John Show.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, his name is Mike O'Donnell. He's a college basketball color analyst for ESPN and CBS Sports on Twitter at MOD43. He joins us now. Mike, what's happening, man?
Oh, man, it's so boring. I'm dying for college hoop season. Everybody's talking college football in the NFL. I'm over here waiting for college hoop season in November to get around the corner.
Yeah, you sound kind of like us.
Yeah, you're in the right market then, bro.
You're on the right show.
Because
there you go, man. Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we don't ever actually stop talking about college basketball. It does not matter. A couple things though before, because you had a whole thread of tweets that I want to get to, but you played at UCF and you were a senior there. The year that Memphis made their run to the national championship game. Do you remember anything about those matchups with Memphis that year?
I still have nightmares about those games. Are you kidding me? I played at NC State as well. Mm-hmm. And when the FedEx Forum is rocking, you got to put that up with just about any place in the country. You know, I played at UNC, at Duke, at Kentucky, and it's hard to put a lot of schools, put a lot of gyms in that type of realm. But the FedEx Forum is rocking. It's exhausting because you're playing against six instead of five. It's really true. But I remember, I had to chase around Derrick Rose for crying out loud. You know, I had the body of a checkers player and decide to play basketball, and I line up against D. Rose. Like, it was terrible, you know. It was awful.
What was he? I mean, obviously we know, you know, Derrick Rose, an NBA player, you know, youngest rookie of the year ever, or youngest MVP ever. But what was he like to chase around on a basketball court? Like, what can you even do? Like, in terms of scouting him, in terms of studying, like, what can you even do?
Well, you know, I'll only tout my ego for just a half a second here. And my ego just came from a really good scouting report from our coach, Kirk Spira, and the idea was at that time, you guys remember him, I mean, his athleticism was just, for a guard, it was absurd, right? It's just at a level to where what can you actually do? It takes two guys to defend him. But his jump shot was suspect at the time. Mm-hmm. And so what we I literally gave him 4.5, 5 feet, almost. I mean, I tried to go essentially the idea in my head of what we came up with an appropriate distance was 3 arm lengths away and just be in front and just stay in front. And that's I didn't try to deter him from doing anything. I just tried to trick him into taking 17-foot jump shots, and it actually worked. I think Derek, the game we played at FedEx Forum, I think he had less than 10. I think he only had like 8 points,
Look
eight or
at
nine
you
points.
Guys.
And well, it was just and we lost by 23. We just didn't want him to beat us.
Yep.
And that was the biggest. His really. A guard like myself, when you talk about athleticism like Derrick Rose, more so than him just being a freak athlete, he was so strong. And I don't think that actually gets talked about enough because he would bump you or you'd bump off him like you're guarding a fullback. And that was the thing that really made it difficult, yeah.
We are, of course, talking to Mike O'Donnell, former UCF basketball player, now doing color commentary for ESPN and CBS Sports. Okay, so you have tweeted extensively about Memphis basketball. You tweet about James Wiseman, Damian Ball, Boogie Ellis, DJ Jeffries. What have you learned about Memphis basketball?
So what's the quote? Here's what's great is what's the quote that's going around, when Penny's on the recruiting trail, we want all the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he's saying? I can't say it and sound cool. I'm sorry, guys. I'm bringing no cool factor to your show. But the interesting thing first is on the recruiting trail, here's what Memphis is doing. And here's what Penny and the staff are doing. They're going in, they're meeting with players and parents, and it's, if you don't have pro potential, there's a really good chance you won't be recruited by Memphis. That's number one. Number two is when they sit in a home and they're talking to recruits and talking to mom and dad, if they're in the room, you're supposed to be a pro. And the pitch isn't, we're going to help you get to the NBA. The pitch is, how do we turn you into an NBA-ready player and a lottery pick?
Yep.
That's the pitch. That's what they're trying to do. I mean, you've got a coaching staff and Penny, Mike Miller, Cody Topper, who probably the most underrated part of that coaching staff is Cody Topper. They're only teaching NBA concepts in practice. That's it. And so the whole idea is to bring that into the college game and just lay waste to college basketball. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
And their size, their length, their athleticism, they're going to go 5 out. And I'm looking forward to watching it because the one thing I think you won't see with this Memphis basketball team is a bunch of robots out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're teaching reads, they're teaching, NBA concepts, and they're getting guys ready to go to the league.
Who are the guys that impressed you the most of those new players? And there's certainly a ton of those freshmen of that number one recruiting class. Who stood out to you?
I haven't had a chance to watch a ton of practices, but I will tell you, so Wiseman is absurd, right? I mean, he's just an unbelievable athlete, but for me, I really think Damian Ba is going to be that crowd favorite. I kind of tweeted that out. It's the way he plays defense.
Yep.
It kind of brings a smile to your face, and that's, is the thing about Memphis basketball fans is they're not just loud and intense. They're really, really intelligent. They understand great basketball. And they're going to love, absolutely love the way that he plays. And I also think another guy, too, I really, really like Boogie Ellis's game.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm watching him, trying to figure out, you love to do player comparisons, and not to pigeonhole a player, but just so fans can kind of understand what they're looking at. And to me, Boogie is a more athletic version of Buddy Hield. The way that he can just score, he has a scores mentality. But I just think that Boogie is more of an athlete than Buddy Hield and just fits perfectly for where the game of basketball is going inside of Penny's offense. And Boogie and Damian are going to be guys that, you know, I think are going to end up being really crowd favorites for Memphis.
See, I love this answer, Mike, because a couple of months ago, before workouts started, we're all looking at this loaded roster, trying to figure out who fits where. I think we're looking at a Damian Ball, even knowing what we do, that he's playmaker first, but defense, wants to guard the other team's best player. I think we looked at it like, well, where's he going to play? You know, where does he fit on this thing? And even some of us saying maybe he's a redshirt candidate. Sound from you, I mean, he's right at the top of your list. You sound he's going to be involved this year because of the way he can play defense. And an impact guy, it sounds like. Yeah.
The coaching staff loves him. They just, the word, they just call him a junkyard dog. And when you have a guy like that, when you have so much elite talent,
right.
you know that like that phrase "glue guy" kind of gets used too much. I mean, really, what that means is, do you have a guy that's willing to do the little things that nobody else wants to do? And that, I think you know we haven't played a game yet, right? You know, to really kind of seeing what it's like.
But I think you're on to something.
He's going to be that guy. Yeah.
Yep.
We are, of course, talking to Mike O'Donnell, color commentary for ESPN and CBS Sports on Twitter at MOD43. What about Precious Achiuwa? Because you look at this roster, obviously a lot of focus on James Wiseman being the local kid, number one player in the class, and also the projected number one pick in next year's draft. But Precious Achiuwa, I mean, obviously a physical specimen. What jumped out at you about Precious?
Well, I've seen him in a lot at Montverde. I live in Orlando. You know, Montverde's in Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And his game is exactly what Penny Hardaway wants. And you know, one thing when we talk about Precious that that I think he's a little bit different is I actually think he can get to the rim better than Wiseman can.
Mm.
I don't think he has Wiseman's playmaking ability because the least talked about aspect of Wiseman's game is his passing, but Precious can really, really get to the rim. And you'll see when you talked about earlier, when we were talking about Damian, like where does he fit?
Yep.
The thing that Penny's trying to do is he wants to create this true positionless basketball because you've got guys that are borderline 7 foot, and then you got 6'9", 6'10" guys that can all put it on the deck and go. And so I don't know if it's necessarily going to be like one or two things for a particular player. Like he's a point guard, he's a shooting guard, he's a small forward. Memphis fans should kind of scrap that thinking because it's more of like who's making the plays. You're going to see more often than not that it's going to be five on the perimeter and you're not going to see this back to the basket posting up. It's going to be everything is relegated upon space. And getting guys in positions to make plays. And Precious is a guy that, you know, when he played at Montverde, that's a little bit of an old school system at Montverde, to where you will have some back to the basket posting up. But Precious is a guy that can really, really, really attack and go. You know, and just when he's elevating, what are you supposed to do if it's a one-on-one and he elevates? So that's kind of Precious's game.
Mike, how would you use DJ Jeffries? You know, there was a couple of springs ago, he's going head up with R.J. Barrett in an AAU game and giving R.J. all he can handle. I think scored 27, 30-something points. He is, when he is locked in, he's one of the best prospects in the country. What did you like the versatility from him in terms of what you expect from DJ Jeffries this year? What do you see?
Another guy, kind of like Damian, that may end up being the second best defender on the team. Mm. You know, think Daniel House of the Houston Rockets,
yep.
Where he's really versatile, and the fact that he can play. Again, I want to get when talking about Memphis basketball, I want to get away from positions, but he's one of those guys that, you know, you almost can stick him at the 2, 3, 4, 5,
yep.
Right? And
yep.
And but the difference is, I think even more so than Wiseman, even more so than Precious, is that he can guard multiple positions at 6'7". Like, and that's where they might play defense. Like, that's a guy that he can switch out on the point guard,
yep.
on the post player, on the wing, and you don't miss a beat. And he's that kind of player. Now, he's still going to the toughest thing for Jeffries is figuring out his role, you know, inside of that place, because there's going to be a lot of action that's going to be run for Precious and Wiseman and rightfully so, and Boogie. But, you know, where DJ will thrive is defensively getting out in transition is probably going to end up being his MO this season.
excellent.
We are, of course, talking excellent to Mike stuff. O'Donnell, does color commentary for ESPN and CBS Sports. You tweeted a lot about sort of the offense and the scheme, and I think this is something people have always been fascinated by with Penny, is like, what is the system going to look like? We saw it last year with a much lesser talented team. You tweeted that we're going to see, or at least you've been told that we're going to see, modern NBA concepts with some Steve Nash, Phoenix Suns schemes mixed in there. So does that mean 7 seconds or less? Like, is that what we're looking at here?
Well, you'll certainly see that. It really comes down to, without getting too much, kind of inside basketball talk, it really comes down to spacing and then the reads after the spacing, right? The thought process for all these players as they're teaching is finding the right spacing on the court, and you're going to see a lot of five-out action. Don't be surprised at all if you see some Princeton concepts molded in. But the biggest thing is when a player goes to attack, basically what you're looking at is three reads. Is that player wants to have three reads on the court, whether it's attack, a kick out, and then what he does after the pass or after the shot. And each player will have three reads inside of that. And the terminology, the concepts, the idea is to put players in position in a one-on-one scenario to make the right play, not necessarily just to score, right? Because that's the modern NBA. I mean, as much as Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Durant were just destroying people, for the Golden State Warriors, destroying teams and putting up incredible amount of points, you can make a case that that was also the most unselfish team in the NBA because it was the best passing team. And that's the kind of thought process that I think Coach Hardaway wants to see, because Penny played like that. I mean, he was a 20-point-a-game scorer in the league, but he was also, his passing was absurd at his size. Mike Miller could thrive in any offense in the NBA because of his ability to move without the basketball and make shots. Cody Topper was, the G League coach for the Phoenix Suns and understands the modern NBA concepts of what it takes to make the right reads off the ball screen, what you should do away from the ball after a pass. So it's not just, hey, let's run. We've got 50 set plays, and that's our offense, and we're sticking to it, and we're going to run our plays. It's more about playing the game the right way. And I know that sounds cliche, but they're really, really going to try to own that in the next couple years.
Mike, haven't seen that roster and haven't seen that coaching staff, which clearly sounds like you love. What's fair expectation? John and I were just discussing this before we had you on. Now, look, Memphis hadn't been past the first weekend of the tournament since 2009, since Cal left.
Right.
So it's been a long, Josh couldn't get past the first weekend. I was saying with this talent, with that coaching staff, Sweet 16, sort of the baseline. John's a little bit, he pulled off a little bit. As long as they make the tournament, he's fine. Maybe they lose second round, last second shot, that's still a success. But with what you've seen with that kind of talent, what are we looking at here? Are we looking at a 3 or 4 seed and a team that can make a deep run?
Number one, I'll be absolutely completely shocked if they don't make the NCAA tournament. Number one,
of course.
Number two, this is a team that's talented enough to make to win a game in the NCAA tournament. I don't know. I'm sorry. I know you're a little prediction radio here. I don't know if I would see this team advancing yet. Only because I'd like to see them more. But what I'd like to see is I'd like to see when they get punched in the mouth.
Of course,
because they are young.
They're young.
It is a young team, and it's been a group of guys who ultra talented individually, but have also won big games in high school and just been the guy, right?
Right.
You've been the guy for so long. So when you face a team like Virginia, that is not going to give you an inch. They're not going to fall for anything. They're going to punch you in the mouth, and it's going to be it's slow, methodical, grind you out. What kind of adjustments individually, Penny and his staff are going to make adjustments, but have they been able to make adjustments in the non-conference play, in conference play enough to win tight ball games going into NCAA tournament?
You're going to have five
freshmen on the court. There's just no, you can dress it however much you want, but this is a group that's never been punched in the mouth before. So, that's where Tyler Harris, that's where Alex Lomax can come into play and help. But, them getting the Sweet 16 might be a little bit of a stretch. It wouldn't shock me if they did, but it's probably a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, just because, you know, so young. But, again, I think we can, you know, you can get punched in the mouth in the regular season, and you obviously you get better and develop over the course of a season. So you want the talent, and certainly that's what they have. Mike, this was a lot of fun, man. Appreciate
Very
the time.
Mike. Thank you for it.
Oh, hey, talking college hoops in, what is it, July? Are you
yes.
kidding me? This is great, man. I'm always happy to do it.
Yeah, man, come back anytime. Appreciate it,
Thank
Mike. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Talk soon.
He is Mike O'Donnell. Interesting stuff there. I mean, really got a pretty detailed look at that team, clearly. Don't say anything, Jason. You know, don't turn him into compliance now.
I'm not. Just jealous
yes.
in terms of him getting seen, and we don't.
Yeah.
That said, don't you like what you heard?
I love what I heard.
I love the insight on Ball. I think the
secret's out on Ball, man.
It is. And it's funny when Herd comes in here and talks about being so defensive-minded and all that, and he said this guy's JYD on defense, wrote about it a little bit, I did, about how he wants the best guy. That's shown. That all has been confirmed in these workouts we've heard. And clearly, you heard from Mike there, he thinks that that Ball's an impact player in his first year.
Yes.
Again, what are you talking about? 6'4", super athletic, and a guy that you can put on multiple positions. He can guard a wing, guard a point guard, and guard a shooting guard. That's Ball's M.O. That's the way he's going to stay on the court. And it's exciting to hear that he's doing so well.
Yeah.
You figure James is doing well. You know, he sticks out like a sore thumb. He's as talented as they come. Figure Precious. I believe him on the getting to the basket. That's Precious' motor. I mean, you cannot stop him. He's a train full of steam
yep.
when he is headed to that basket. Get all that. I liked what I heard about Ball, like what I heard about Jeffries and the defense he's playing.
No question about that.
Still a Sweet 16 team.
He sounded like, dang, like.
He sounded like Rob Doster got him down at 22.
Don't even talk about the Sweet 16. Like, he's like, don't even mention it. You know? So that's interesting.
He sounded like you. Y'all pulling back these expectations.
No, I'll talk about the Sweet 16.
Was there a development? Somebody get hurt over there or something?
I'll talk about the Sweet 16. Like, that's not, you know, I'm just saying, like.
Again, when you are a three or. God for a two seed, it's easier to do. To
yes.
your point, the NCAA tournament, one of the hardest things to win. There's no question about it. It's the way it's set up. One and done, you're gone. Just have a bad day. But this team has more than just one, two, three guys that's going to – that's what you feel like, is that even if Wiseman's having a bad game, you're not going to be so reliant on him with a guy like Precious on the roster, with a guy like DJ Jeffries, Boogie Ellis, who could win you a game. I cannot believe that song's still in your head. You're not going to have to rely on just one or two guys having great individual performances every night like you did Jeremiah Martin last season.
Yeah.
This team's loaded with guys who can take over a game and probably win it for you, have a big night, a 30-point game, and win it for you. There must be 5-6 guys on this team that can do that. And that, to me, is the biggest difference. He hit on the main challenge. We've been saying this for months.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since Penny started with recruiting the guys that he was for this class, biggest challenge for him, getting them to buy into roles. Everybody's got their popcorn ready
yep.
to see how Penny's going to figure this out with this much talent. And again, so much of this season's success will be based upon that, getting guys to buy in. Penny's good at it. I mean, when it comes to relating something, listen, and I know I use Josh as an example a lot, but it's the guy I covered.
Right.
And again, you're talking about a situation where there are two guys that got the job for the first time.
Yep.
You're seeing them here their first time as college coaches. Josh would have a hard time after a while, right, getting through to a player in terms of, man, this is what you need to do. This is the way for you to go.
Yep.
Well, how did they? Well, Josh, you've never been there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're a basketball coach, but you never. For Penny, it's different. He's been to the league.
Yep.
He's been all the way through. Mike Miller, same thing. They've been all the way through. So when they're talking about you got to be a role guy, and as a matter of fact, that's going to be your way to the NBA. You aren't going to be a star. You, I would think, have a tendency to believe it even more when it's coming from them. When it comes to relating to guys, that's what that staff's greatest strength is going to be. There's no question about that, and it will continue to be, I imagine.
Coming up next on The Six.
James Wiseman may not score the most points, but he plays an Anthony Davis-type role where he gets 13 points, 10 rebounds, and blocks 10 shots. And then Precious Achiuwa can play that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist role where he kind of is a crazy rebounder. He hits some shots when he needs to and plays great defense, and it's just this athletic force. But do those guys want to do that?
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jason and John.
Yeah, I wanted the city to be happy again. I wanted the school to be back on top. That's what drives me, not trying to prove people wrong. I mean, I just internally, I'll take the challenge.
Yes, sir.
And try to do that on my own personally. But the biggest part of this is people coming up to me telling me thank you. The entire city being excited again. I love that for our city.
That's the mayor of Memphis right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the most popular man in the city.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
No matter what your past credit, no matter how much you owe on your trade, no matter if you tried to buy at another deal and were turned down, Sunrise Buick GMC can get you financed. There's never been a better time to trade. Sunrise has hundreds of new vehicles and over $5 million in used car inventory, specializing in cars and trucks under $10,000. Sunrise has the lowest prices that will not be undersold. Bad credit, bankrupt, slow pay. Sunrise gets you financed when no one else can. Check out the inventory and apply online at sunrisememphis.com. The blowout sale going on now at all Sunrise locations. Covington Pike, Wolf Chase, and Collierville.
At home or far from home, heroes feed their hunger with the extra-large two-topping superhero pizza. 10 massive slices and two toppings of your choice. Delivered in a special Spider-Man Far From Home collectible box. All for the blockbuster price of just $12. It's a deal of epic proportions and is only available at Papa John's. See Spider-Man Far From Home in theaters July 2nd. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Rated PG-13 at participating U.S. stores. Taxes and delivery fee extra.
JJ Hottail here. As an ex-professional race car driver, I'm used to taking risks, which isn't always so good when it comes to driving off the track. But that's why I'm insured by Direct Auto and Life Insurance. I can get a great rate regardless of my driving history. They understand that nobody's perfect. Hello, officer. Save up to 25% with discounts at Direct Auto. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today. Direct General Group Nashville. Rates vary. Discounts subject to limitations, terms, and conditions. How you buy impacts cost.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Cyber Monday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusiness.
Back to The Six with the Jeff Calkins Show.
Joined now by Jonah Jordan. He covers the University of Memphis for the Daily Memphian. On Twitter, @_JonahJordan. He joins me now. Jonah, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing today?
I'm fabulous. So we have revised our Penny What to Get Penny Hardaway for His Birthday poll. The current choices are more minutes to spread. Two is All the Smoke. Those were on the other poll. Now we have two new additions.
Exactly.
We have two new additions. We've gotten rid of the new president because the people are going to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to irritate people. And plus, President Rudd might think I'm referring to him, and I'm not.
Yes, you only get 25 characters. So
only have 25 characters. And then the other one we took down was a new guitar.
Yes.
Which he doesn't really need a new guitar. That was he smashed the hell out
he
of that guitar last night.
He was giving the guitar to smash.
Yeah. He didn't smash his own guitar. He didn't need a new guitar. What we've added is Nick Anderson made free throws. Oh, that's a
lot. Oh, man.
And
we got collateral shots going everywhere.
And a game against UK. So
we're missing one. Y'all just need, I think.
Well, I mean, new knees.
Peace and quiet.
What? Peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet.
A day to be left alone.
That's Father's Day.
That's Father's. Yeah. No. We could. There could be another. There's. We got four choices. We're left with the same problem we had yesterday. Of these four, you think he needs a day to be left alone?
A day to be left alone, or maybe the game against Kentucky. I think that would make him pretty happy. A commit in the class of 2020, that may put him over the roof.
Of these four, more minutes to spread around. That would come in handy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess that would come in handy, but I don't think he's super, like, as of right now.
You don't think he's that worried about it?
Yeah, I think you can do better for his birthday, that's for sure.
Okay, how about the Nick Anderson made free throws? You think he's moved on?
Probably moved on.
All the Smoke, he really already has All the Smoke.
Yeah.
He already has one. It's like getting me another, you know, another necktie or something, right? Exactly. Yeah. And then, unless it's from O'Call, in which case I deeply appreciate it. And then a game against UK. So we're going to say game against UK? That's what you would vote for? What do you think's going to win?
I think game against UK would probably, it should win. That's a good one.
Jeffrey, which do you think's going to win?
I think a game against Kentucky because I think everyone wants. I think everyone wants that.
I think it's going to win too. In fact, I'll vote for. Oh my God! It is off to a rollicking early start with 48% of the vote. A game against UK, all the smoke at 24%. Nick Anderson made free throws at 21%, and more minutes to spread at 7%. You can vote if you go look at Jeffrey Wright's Twitter handle is.
At JWright929 ESPN.
And mine is at Jeff, GEOFF underscore Calkins, CALKINS. One of the things that struck me, Jonah, as you listen to Penny in the podcast that he did yesterday, is it's not even so much minutes to spread. It's that the agendas of the players, they each have an agenda. They each have things that they need to do and accomplish during their year at Memphis, in addition to winning a national championship, right? And
yeah.
What they say is you say, all right, well, you put everything aside and you focus on winning and everything else will take care of itself. That's a fine thing to say. But, for example, Precious Achiuwa, perfect example. Precious Achiuwa, his best role on a winning Memphis team might be playing the four and going crazy and getting rebounds and being that. His best role in terms of his future career, because he's not a monster physically, is proving he can play the three, is being what he calls a Kawhi Leonard type, right? Take Boogie Ellis. His best role as a Memphis Tiger might be hitting shots, maybe playing alongside Damian Ball more and not necessarily always being the primary ball handler. But his in terms of his NBA future, what he really needs to do is to play the one. Lots of guys need to play the one. Damian Ball needs to play the one. Tyler Harris needs to play the one. Alex obviously has to play the one. DJ Jeffries isn't going to be a four. He's got to be a wing. So it's not just minutes. It's also styles of play and roles. Isn't that going to be part of the juggling here? Penny promises when he's recruiting these guys, his strategy seems to be, yeah, you can be anything you want to be. Well, when they get here, they can't be. Go ahead. I've filibustered.
No, yeah, you're fine. Yeah, no, it's a problem. Everybody says is this best team's best chance to win a national championship is if they gel like the Anthony Davis Kentucky team, where James Wiseman may not score the most points, but he plays in the Anthony Davis type role where he gets 13 points, 10 rebounds, and blocks 10 shots. And then Precious Achiuwa can play that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist role where he kind of is a crazy rebounder. He hits some shots when he needs to and plays great defense and is just this athletic force. But do those guys want to do that? That's what everybody says about a lot of teams with a bunch of highly ranked guys. I mean, I think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Anthony Davis ended up going 1-2 in that draft, but it's best case scenario. Like Kentucky does this every year where they're like, oh, these guys are going to do this because they're highly rated. And it doesn't end up happening because, like you said, everybody has different agendas. Everybody wants to do something different. Guys come in having an idea of what position they want to play because it helps their pro stock. Like DJ Jeffries wants to play on the wing. He wants to be a 2 or 3. Is that better for him as a college player? I don't know. We'll have to see because a bunch of people projected him as a 4, a stretch 4 coming into college. So there is a lot of balancing. Is Boogie Ellis better as a point guard, which is better for his draft stock, or is he better at playing off the ball, playing off of Tyler Harris or playing off of Alex Lomax? Is Damian Ball going to be better as a wing or as a point guard? Is he going to be a guy who can distribute the ball, or is he going to be just a defensive stopper who can get you some hard drives at the rim but is kind of a liability shooting the ball, which you may not want at point guard? There are tons and tons of questions here in the summer. I've heard good things about just about every one of these players. They're very excited about them. But no, they're like you said, I don't know if there are enough minutes to go around. I don't know if there are enough, if everybody is on the same page. They say they are, but we won't see it until they get on the floor.
Right now, from what we've heard, obviously we've heard more coming out of practice lately, some of it now from Penny himself. Give me your projected starting five. And I don't know whether that's different in the Bahamas than it is for the first game. If it is, you can give me both of your projected starting fives. I'm not holding you to this, but give me your projected starting five.
I'm wondering if Jaden's going to start.
What?
That's my biggest thing. He started Jaden. Jaden started at East. Jaden started at Team Penny in similar situations. He is a big guard who can shoot threes, which don't really grow on trees, and Penny loves him, and it wouldn't be the first time, but I don't think he will.
Isn't Lester Canonis a big guard who can shoot threes?
Yeah, but
all right, so go ahead. Give me your starting five. Thrown in that intrigue, give me your starting five.
Boogie, I mean, it's going to remain the same from now until the end of the season.
And the first one, which ones are you pretty sure of? Wiseman?
I mean, it's going to be Boogie Ellis, Lester Canonis, DJ, Precious, and James. Wiseman. But in the Bahamas, I think we'll probably see Tyler, Boogie, DJ, Precious, and James, or maybe even Lance Thomas thrown in there somewhere.
I'm confused. You can only give me one starting five, and your starting five was Boogie. You believe that the starting five at the beginning of the season will be Boogie and Canonis in the backcourt with DJ, Precious, and Wiseman. Is that what you're going with?
Yeah.
But Canonis is barely even – like, he has at least the excuse with him because he's got the injury that he's coming back from. You don't think Tyler or Damian might start – I mean, the way that people rave about Damian Baugh
– oh, people are raving about him right now.
He can play alongside Boogie, give him another ball handler. He can guard.
Yeah.
But you think Canonis
– but at some point you have to realize, too, that these guys are coming off the bench. They need – you don't want to have people coming off the bench that are an entirely small lineup, like with Tyler and Alo. Like, you need some of the bigger guys coming off the bench too, is my thinking. Maybe I'm overthinking it a little bit, but you still need to have some size coming off the bench. That's kind of why I was thinking Damian Baugh. But I could see him starting. I mean, he could totally start next in that second guard spot, give you some defense, some length, a little bit of size as well. I mean, he's a very smart defender. He always has been. He's got a very high basketball IQ. He shares the ball around. He's not selfish. He's not one of those guys, I don't think, that is thinking about his future. He's very much locked in, and by all accounts, he's bought into this attitude of we're going to win a national championship.
Memphis football, obviously, they had their media days up there. The last is this our last clam bake? Are they gonna? It's the last clam bake, I believe, right?
Yes.
Weird. It's the last clam bake, and it's the last Birmingham media days for the SEC. Memphis once again picked to finish first in the West. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, it'll be their third straight year winning the division if it does all work out. I was talking to somebody on the team yesterday about what they have to do to win the division, and I think it right now, I mean, doesn't it all revolve around Brady White? Brady White in the defense. I mean, if Brady comes in and is better than he was last year or just as good, I think they have a great shot.
Well, to me, it's isn't it Brady and the weapons? Like, where are the, as they say, a phrase that we never used a decade ago, where are the chunk plays coming from?
I'm of the belief, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am, that they have more weapons. They may have lost Darryl Henderson. That's a big
loss.
And Tony Pollard. But they have more weapons than they did at this time last year. You got Travion Samuel. They're getting Joey Magnifico and Sean Dykes more involved in the offense. They're going to find ways to get Sean Dykes the ball. They need to do that. Those guys were not very much involved last year. I think Joey Magnifico had one or two games where it was heavily, he was passed too heavily, but then it wasn't a bunch. They blocked a lot. They're getting those guys involved, which is kind of a plus. Kylan Watkins is coming in. He's a guy who's going to be very, very involved. Kenny Gainwell. They have more guys.
It's just we don't know them yet. It's just people are not as familiar with what they can do.
Don't miss the Jeff Calkins Show tomorrow morning beginning at 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
There's nothing more simple and delicious than a burger done right. Brett Clark here, operating partner at Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. At the bar in Fleming's Prime Steakhouse, we serve a delicious half-pound prime bacon cheeseburger, and nothing makes me happier than seeing a guest smile after taking that first bite. Want to make that burger taste even better? Pair it with an applewood smoked old-fashioned and try a flaming molten lava cake for dessert. And every day during happy hour from 5 to 7, that same burger is only $10. Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. We use food and wine to create memorable times.
It's a salute to savings during Wolf Chase Toyota's Red, White, and New event. Your chance to drive the all-new Corolla. Only $99 a month at the number one volume sales leader in Memphis. All-new 2020 Corolla LE. Only $99 a month. Wolf Chase Toyota. Germantown Parkway in Cordova. WolfChaseToyota.com.
Model 1852, 36-month lease with approved credit. MSRP $23,124, $5,099 due at signing. Includes first month's payment, zero security deposit, excludes tax, title $499.50 dealer fee. Expires 7/31/19. Based on Toyota reporting from 2018 sales.
I used to do a radio show with George Lapidus, and I'll always remember those wonderful commercials George did for Oak Hall. He loved Oak Hall. He loved the people. He loved the clothing. He loved that Oak Hall had been a part of Memphis for, okay, even longer than George had been. But you know what George really loved? Oak Hall's semi-annual sale. The semi-annual sale at Oak Hall was like a holiday for George. He'd wait for it twice a year. So I'm thrilled to be able to tell you that it is that time again. Oak Hall's semi-annual sale is underway. I stopped by just the other day and picked up four dress shirts, a pair of dress slacks, some lightweight shorts, and three shirts from Peter Millar. It's not an overstatement to say that Oak Hall has transformed the way I think about clothes. The right clothes with the right fit not only make you look better, they make you feel better about yourself. So get yourself to Oak Hall. The sooner do you do it, the better the selection. You don't have to be George Lapidus to know Oak Hall's semi-annual sale doesn't last forever. Take advantage of it while you can.
If you've been in a car crash or suffered an injury, this could be the most important message you'll ever hear. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Almost always, the person refusing to pay you is not the person who caused the injury. It's their insurance company, State Farm, Geico, Allstate, and the like. They make billions and billions of dollars by keeping as much money as they can in their own pockets. Big companies with the deepest pockets and an army of lawyers, literally thousands. But at Morgan & Morgan, we too have an army of lawyers. And you know what else? Many of our lawyers came from the same insurance companies we now fight against. If you're injured in a car crash, slip and fall, or the victim of medical malpractice, our army will fight like hell for you. Just dial pound law on your cell phone. That's pound 529. Pound law, that's all. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis and America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.